Mandel, and he's going to give us the word today.
I can't hear you. Amen. Come on, louder, louder. Yeah. Now you're talking. I love having fun in him. If you're here, and those that are listening around the world, it's not by accident that you're listening, because it's ordained by God. And God opens up our ears and allows us to hear his word so that we're set free. And only God can open up our eyes. Only God can open up our ears. Only God can give us life. And that's why I say, why my God? Because my God is a life-giving God, an eternal life God. Not a pillow God, not a God that sits on the, you know, counter or what have you. A living God that dwells within inside each and everybody. And I want to bring that God out. I want to bring that God out of you. Now, my message today from him is about promises. And we've been hearing it all morning. You know, if you just had ears to be able to hear the Spirit of God all morning, we're hearing about, you know, what is dwelling inside of us. And there is something that is dwelling inside of us, which is a promise. And we all have promises. One of the verses I want to open up with is, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. And that verse in itself is so important, because God is the promise. Promise is God. God is promise. And in him is yes and amen. And it's the glory of God through you. And yes and amen is, yes is yes. You can't change that. And amen is, so be it. Now, all right, what's promise? That's the question. Has anyone ever had a dream? How about a vision? How about an inspiration of something? How about an unction, a hope? You know, let's start. Let's get real simple. How about a desire? How about just a simple desire of something, a want? That's a promise. That's a piece of God. And to have that is so special. You know how many people are out there that, like Pastor Sam said, as a matter of fact, the big guy that was over here, that's Pastor Sam, if some of you don't know one of the pastors here. And he mentioned about not having hope. You know how many people are out there that are dry and thirsty? You ask them, what's your vision? What is your desire? What do you want? And they're like, I don't know. I have no idea. I look at that individual, two things, lost, and then I look at him and I say, they don't have God. They don't know God. They don't have him. He's not dwelling in them, because God is hope. God is our promise. And I want to bring that to you, because you have, but we got to go deep. And we heard about well drilling earlier. And if we don't go deep and find that water, we don't go deep, we're not going to be able to know what our purpose is. We're not going to know, what are we doing here? What is my wants? What is my desires? To be honest with you, it's not truth. You know, people are wondering, what is truth? Truth is what's inside, deep down inside of you. My truth might be different than your truth. I mean, hopefully we all come together and we have the same truth, just like I showed you an example of Pastor Tim and myself. Two identical looking individuals, but yet we have truth that is equally the same that's inside of us. There's a place that we all become the same. You know, outwardly, no, but inwardly, yes. Right now, we have so much division around us because we're not tapped into the truth. And that truth is what sets us free. Now, I got a couple of verses here that I want to follow. Believe it or not, I got a cheat sheet. I don't normally have a cheat sheet, but today I have a cheat sheet. And it's a real simple cheat sheet, see? I printed out a couple of verses because I don't have time to go scanning through the Bible. And those that are out there, this is the Bible, and not many people around the world even know what this is. There is a place that I know of in Brazil, and I know that there are some people from Brazil that are listening, that have never seen one of these, and when they do, they got to pay big dollars to get one. And then they got to run from whoever they bought it from and escape the laws of the land, so to say, to have this. It's incredible. It's amazing. How the privilege that we have, we take it for granted. And this book is the only book that I have come across based on my experiences that come as close to the truth that I know of. And so I use this book here, and it's called the Holy Bible. It's called the Bible, and it's you got to read it in the light. To pick it up, you might read it 100 times and be like, huh, what are you saying? But I have the keys, I have the mysteries to give to you, and it's life, everlasting life. You want to have a life? You want to, you know, not wake up and say, what am I here for? To die and pay taxes? You know, what am I here for? You know, I'm going to give you a life, and there's a way to find it, and it's the truth. And if you apply this truth, you will get the life, and that life will set you free, and then you'll be happy. Not only will you be happy, but you're storing up treasures, like Tim said, in heaven, and you're going to have a place in store. We need to really come to an understanding that the flesh itself is just nothing but a shell. It's going to fade off. And there's a place, and it's called eternity. And that goes on and forever and ever and ever. And if you don't believe it, I'm sorry for you. But take my words and believe it, because if you believe it, you'll have eternal life. Now, with that being said, this promise here is an example. And if you know some of the stories in the Bible, it says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. This is God. This is a promise. Now, I'm gonna take Abraham for an example, and I'm just gonna give you a little bit of an insight. Abraham's over here dwelling, and many, many years ago, listen, they thought the world was flat. They'd be sailing their boat and they think they would fall off the edge of the earth. How many people have heard that one? Okay. So you gotta figure that this guy Abraham from way back when was probably petrified at what was out there. No idea what was on the other side of his little tent. You know, maybe he walked a day and then, you know, headed back to his tent. And, you know, but my point is, he didn't know what was out there. But he had a promise. And that promise was an unction, a feeling. Get up. Get out there. Go. Don't be afraid, basically. I'm with you. See, a promise is God. It's our strength. It's our courage. It's our being. It's our whole entire life. So that it gives us the courage and the strength to get out there. So you got to look at Abraham. He used something which is called faith. And I'm going to give you a whole different meaning of faith in a minute. Because faith, sometimes we take that as, well, I believe in God. But faith is a substance that brings into existence that don't even exist. So we have to begin to believe. And what do we believe in? In ourselves. We have to believe in what is inside of us. What is sparking. All of a sudden, you have a desire to do something. Or you have a vision. And you see yourself being something. Or going somewhere. You know, I have spoken things in my own life. And I have spoken things in other people's lives. And I'm going to talk about prophecy or prophetic words. Maybe. I don't know. But if you ever had words spoken over your life, or if you ever had somebody encourage you and say, hey, listen, this is what I think you're going to be, or this is what I feel that you're going to do, and it resonated in your heart, and you're like, yeah, that's what I want. Yes, I see myself going to this country, or yes, I see myself becoming this, or yes, I feel good. Yes, yes. Hold on to it. That's a promise. And that promise never goes void. It's a yes and an amen. It's a yes and so be it. And we need to really understand and hold on to that promise. There is a verse, a story in the Bible that talks about Abraham, and I believe I'm getting this right, and his wife Sarah, right? They had a baby, a child, at age 90. God spoke to Abraham and said, you're going to have a child. And he felt an inspiration. How does God speak to us? By an inspiration. I want people to know who my God is. It's not this big audible voice where the heavens open up. And sometimes it might happen that way. And it's like, hey, I'm God. And you get appeared by an angel, and all of a sudden, oh my God, I had a vision of God. And he spoke to me. No. God is that still small voice inside of you that says, oh, I want a child. I'm going to have a baby. I want to have a baby. Now, when God spoke to Abraham and Abraham told his wife, they were in their age of 90. Like, they were old. And they weren't able to have children. It's like impossible. And Sarah, being that age, looked and laughed. Ha ha. Yeah, right. Okay. I think it's a little too late. Yeah, I would love to give you a child. I would love to see it, you get your heirs of your name and all. I would love to give you a son, you know? And she laughed. How many of us are laughing right now in your promise? How many of us are thinking that it's too late? Or I already, missed it? I bet you there are some here, and those that are listening might have felt that they missed it. Have you ever felt that you missed it? Yeah. Now, are we laughing at God? Could we be like Sarah, laughing at God? We don't want to laugh at God. We don't want to laugh at the promise. We want to hold on to the promise and believe. Now, look, it's yes and amen. What happened? Anybody know the story of Sarah? What happened? It came to be a bad one. He took it in his own strength. And she says, well, you know what? Ooh, okay. Well, I know I can't have it. I'll try to pass it over to somebody else. Okay. Well, that went south. It went bad. But what did eventually happen? Sarah had a son. She became pregnant. The promise of God became amen. It became so be it. And a lot of times we tend to take things in our own matters, or we don't wait on the Lord and it goes south. But that doesn't mean that your promise isn't going to still come to pass. Sometimes we go before the Lord. Sometimes we do things out of anxiousness. You know, and the scripture says, don't be anxious for nothing. Sometimes we jump before the Lord and we tend to fail. But God's is like, listen, it didn't die. The promise did not die. It's still alive. Let's pick ourselves back up, get back up on our feet, brush ourselves off, and understand, amen. It's going to come. It's going to take place. I don't want us to lose God. I don't want you to lose faith. I don't want you to lose my God in his promises. I don't want you to not see his glory, because his promises is nothing more than glory. How many people understand what glory is? Glory is your promise coming to pass. When you reach that place where your promises actually manifest, you're like, woohoo, yeah, I feel good. How about when you're going through sufferings? and hardships. You're ready to give up. I want to share some things here. I labeled my little cheat sheets here by numbers. And there is another verse here. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? And it says real quickly, certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could be given life, truly righteousness would be by the law. Now I want you to understand that when you hear the word law, right away you think like the law of land, you know, like, you know, what our government might say or you know, your church or religion might say, and you come under like a law of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. Okay, that's not what this is saying. This is saying the law is really basically under your reasoning. Your reason is a law. And if you're going to follow the reasonings, then that's not going to bring you the righteousness in God's eyes. The righteousness of God's eyes is not through the law of reasoning, because how many people understand how the law came about? They said, these people are like unruly. We have to figure out a way. We have to reason a way and figure out how to bring them and conduct them properly. So we're going to make a law, and everybody's going to have to follow the law so that they live properly. Okay. Well, that's followed under reasoning. They reasoned to bring you into a place. Well, God's promise doesn't fall under your reasoning. And why I'm bringing this up is because what did Sarah do? She reasoned. Oh, I'm too old to have a baby, so I'm going to try to work it out and get this other person to have it for me. And then it went to be through her reasoning, the promise went south. It didn't turn out right. It fell. And what I'm saying is because a lot of us have tried to reason our promises and figure them out. We can't. We got to manifest this thing called faith. We can't reason. We just got to move forward in God. We just have to hold on to the promise. And what we're doing is we're really holding on to God. And we have to hold on to this promise. We have to hold on to this hope. We have to hold on to this unction. And we have to be able to walk forward in believing and trusting that God has our best interest, because for one, he put it inside of you. That promise is not yours. It's his. That's his life in you. If you can picture this, you're just like an empty vessel that he fills up a life, and that life leads to eternity. Not everybody's life leads to eternity the same. Not all of us are called to be plumbers. Not all of us are called to be pastors. Not all of us are called to be fathers or mothers or whatever it is. But we're called into a promise. And that promise leads to eternal life. And that promise is actually our righteousness in God. It's not our good deeds. It's the faith and the works of manifesting the promise and believing. How many people are beginning to follow me? Of how important the promise and the life that's inside of us to live. We all want to get, listen, my job is to lead you to eternity. My job is to lead you to a place of hope and to get you a life that is inside of yours. And to be able to have a relationship with God that you're going to have a relationship with and you're going to know him after this life. So the whole point of following the promise is really eternal life. It's to forsake your life and become his life. So it's like no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me. How is that possible? Well, it's not you under your law of reasoning, but believing in your unction, believing in your anointing, believing in your conviction, believing in what's inside of you. You know, nobody has to tell you. You know if you feel good about it or you don't feel good about it. And if you're not sure, just wait. Don't be anxious for anything. This is the process of manifesting your promise. If we wait on the Lord, he'll give us the strength. Listen, he wants you to fulfill his promises in you. We just need to be yielded to it. We need to surrender ourselves to it. We just need to lay our lives down. This is salvation. If anybody wants to really know what salvation is, this is the road to salvation. And this is what will bring you peace and happiness and joy. There's a place, and that place is called the kingdom. And everything rests in the kingdom. Now, there's another verse here that I'm going to share real quick because of time, and I want to try to squeeze this whole thing in if I can, because I know the Lord is going to change the message next week. I never have part two. It's very rarely. So let me try to get this. Now, here's an example. In this Bible, there's a man called Jesus, okay? And I'm going to tell you that he's an awesome person, and he's an example for us to follow. Some think he was God, but because he followed the promise in him, because he followed his conviction, that's what gave him that rights to be Son of God, just like yourself. If you follow the promises in you and you yield your life to your promises that are inside of you, that gives you rights to be sons of God too. How many people understand that one? Okay, good. Because I don't want to emphasize too much on, you know, Jesus being God, okay? There's many people out there and a lot of divisions amongst each other because of this particular message in that area of Jesus being God or his prophet and all this other stuff. Listen, he followed the promise written on his heart. He followed the conviction that was in his heart. That was him following God. And that's what made him the Son of God. That's what made him basically, if you see me, you see the Father. What the heck was he saying? Think about it. If you see me, you see the Father. He was following the promise. He was following the life that's inside him. He knew the truth, the revelation of, it is not me that is manifesting. It's God's life inside of me that's manifesting. And so I'm living the life of God. I'm living the life of God. And that life of God is not like up in the clouds. Ooh, that life of God is, should I marry her or should I not? Should I go to, you know, Europe or should I not? Should I become, you know, an engineer or not? Should I buy a car or not? How many people are following me this? I mean, this is life, and that's what God is. God is not like up in the clouds going, ooh, and that's what you just focus on. God is every little aspect of your life, every little aspect. Everything. He's interested in everything. Where you're going to go tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Listen, you don't understand how things manifest through you to have people be enlightened to see God. There could have been somebody there that was saying, God, if you're real, let me see the first person this morning with a red shirt on. And you're over here saying, God, should I wear the blue shirt or the red shirt? And God says, wear the red shirt. I want to wear the red shirt today because God just unctioned me to make me wear the red shirt. But it doesn't match my green pants, but, you know, I'm going to wear the red shirt anyhow. And then you go off and all of a sudden this lady's saved and realizes that God's alive because he heard her, because this guy or this person walks in with this bright red shirt on that she asked. Listen, he's far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. He's doing 50,000 things to our one little peon thought. God is so great, so awesome. That's why we got to tear the law down. We got to tear down the reasonings of our mind and not walk under the law. We got to walk in the promises of God, and you will see. And then how do you know that woman just got saved and realized that God's real because you walked in the room with the red shirt, but you didn't even understand that the guy right after her is waiting to give you $10,000 for the first red shirt he sees? Listen. There are tremendous blessings and promises because you just said to the Lord, Lord, I can't walk into your promises because I don't have 10,000. How many people are starting to realize what I'm saying here? We got to tear down the law that separates us from the truth. And the truth will set us free. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. There's another verse here. So Jesus was an example. It says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, which is, you know, the Jewish back then. He says, I come for the Jews. For the truth of God, he became a servant for these particular people, for the truth of God, to confirm the promise made. You see, he was an example for the truth of God. And the truth of God is in you. It's your unction. It's your inspiration. It's your... Listen, when we learn to cast down our thinking, our reasoning, and destroy it, I call it the law. We destroy the law in that respect. Not trying to figure it out. But start pressing in. Start pressing in every little... I'll tell you what, I don't breathe without asking God. God, should I take a breath or not? Because how do I know that a smog of stinky air just went by and he didn't want me to sniff it in? I don't know. Whole field burning and I'm sniffing it. This is where it gets raw. But we have to understand that we eat and breathe and live in him. And when we can learn this simple process, your whole life will change. God, I may not know you, but I want to know you. And teach me. Show me your ways. I know you exist because I'm here. And I want you to live my life out. I want all the promises that you made me. You're the master potter. I'm the clay. You made me. You got a plan. You got a purpose. I want it. Because in him is where your real joy and your real peace is. In him is where your righteousness is. Your righteousness is not other than in you. And I want you to find your righteousness. I could set a law up here. If you follow this, you'll have righteousness. But that's not going to get you into the eternal life, the kingdom, where I know you, that's where you need to be. Your righteousness and your path to the kingdom of eternity is inside of you. I want to crack that open. Like Pastor Sam said, we got to drill deep. We got to go deep. And there might be times where you might have to like clear your schedule out and take a sabbatical of your daily life and just sit back in a nice comfort couch and hang the phone up and don't turn it on and just sit there until something starts coming. You might have to put some things to bed and take a sabbatical in your life because your life is so running around like a chicken without a head. How many people have seen one of them run around? They're like, all right, they bang into the walls and they have no place and they just go everywhere. Chickens just go anywhere anyhow with the head on. But we got to realize what's happening inside of us. We're going nuts. Here's another place here. Now we're going to be tested, okay? And we have to understand that we're going to be tested. And in this verse here it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Now, was Isaac was from Sarah? Was that the 90-year-old baby or the 90-year-old woman who had the baby? Okay. I'm giving you a little devil's advocate here. Okay? Isaac was the one that they were waiting for. Oh man, you're living a lifetime waiting for a promise and it comes. All right, here you go. Here's a real awesome test coming. God speaks to Abraham and says, okay, Abraham, I want you to take this promise that I've given you, and then I want you to go and sacrifice it. What? You want me to walk away and lay it down? You gave me like my desire of my heart, and now you want me to lay it down and walk away from it. Hey, listen to me. God may play with you and test you to see who you're going to worship. We might reach a point and conform our own righteousness because we entered into some of our promises. Hey, look at me. I got my promise. Look, you know. I know that there are some people out there that have maybe developed a relationship with God. And God began to start blessing them. And then all of a sudden they live in that one blessing and they forget about God. Well, there's more blessings. Don't get in your comfort zone. Now, if he says to you, okay, now I want you to walk away from your blessing, are we going to trust him? We got to realize that every one of our blessings is like this Isaac. We got to put it on the altar and be willing to sacrifice it and say, yeah, I'll be willing to walk away from it. And then what did he end up doing? When he realized that Abraham was willing, he brought his son, packed up everything, got the knife, the rope and all, went up into the mountain, and he's ready to sacrifice. And the kid's like, hey, where's the goat? You know, I only see you and me, Dad. What's going on? I only see you and me, and I see a knife in your hand and rope. And then it started to click. Oh, Dad, I seen you do some crazy things, Dad, but I didn't think you were going to be this crazy. You're actually going to sacrifice me? And he's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I know my God. He gave me a promise. And what he does with you, I don't know, but I'm going to trust in God. He's doing things far beyond what I can comprehend or imagine. And this is the heart that we need so that we can learn how to let things go and go into deeper promises, go further in him. We hold on to the old. And God may want to resurrect, restore, or maybe he might just test you and see if you were willing to let it go. And that's what he did. He tested Abraham to see how far he was going to go. And I'm sure in Abraham, knowing God, he probably said, well, God's strong enough to resurrect him from the dead. He'll bring him back to life. Or he may, I don't know, take him from me because that's the will, because it's his time for eternity, and he'll have a better life, and I just have to accept the fact that I enjoyed the promise while he was there. But he yielded. This is the main point. He yielded. Knowing his heart, he ended up giving him a resource. There was a ram in a bush, and the sacrifice was given to him, and he no longer had to sacrifice his son. Now, I'm sure with Isaac, he was probably like, woo, there is a God, because the promise was him was, I don't want to die yet. And I'm sure he probably was like, wow, you see how many things God is doing, and we can't see them all? The most important thing is just keep yielding. Keep yielding. Tear down the law of reasoning and keep yielding. It's hard, but we're going to be tested. And when that test comes, let God be the ruler of your life. Yield to him. Yield to his promise. I know that God empowered Abraham to even not even consider, because the unction had to have come. For some reason, he was saying, okay, Lord, where's this goat I'm going to sacrifice? And he just happened to glimpse over to his son and went, and felt that little inner feeling of, it's your son. That's the promise of God. And I'm sure he was like, no, devil, get out of my head. It's not him. I know it's not him. Get out of my head. It's devil, get out. Get out of my head. Listen, the devil doesn't exist the way I look at it. I believe we need to yield to it. And then God will remove that thought. How many people understand what I'm saying? We give too much credit to the devil. And we blame too much on the darkness. Listen, when you give your heart to God and you lay yourself in his hands, he protects us. He guides us. No harm can come against his children, and you're a child of God. Every one of you that are here and everyone that's listening, because he has ordained you to hear this. Now, there's a test. After the test, I want you to see something here. There is something else, and I'll have to be real quick because I just got the sign up there. It says here, don't get tired, okay? Don't get wearied. You're going to be tested, but don't get wearied. It says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promise. So listen, how many times do we get this unction feeling and it takes forever? I know Pastor Sam back there had a prophetic word spoken over him, and he was like waiting for years and like, it's not true. It ain't coming to pass. It ain't happening. And then today, this morning, he's ready to jump out of his skin saying, dude, you don't know what's about to happen. I know what's going to happen because it was spoken. I already know. You're not surprising me. He's surprising himself because it's actually coming to true. It's actually coming to pass. He's amazed. Don't be amazed. It's only natural. Yes and amen. You see? Expect the amen in your life. Expect the promises. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Everything, if you receive prophetic words in this place, and that's why I tell everybody, I encourage them, get in here because God will speak into your life and tell you what's going on in your life. Hold on to it because it will happen. I guarantee it will happen. How many here have already had things happen in their lives over prophetic words that were spoken? Yes, and it will happen, and it will continue to happen. Yes and amen. The foolish thing on our part is we grow tired. We grow weary. We get impatient. We think a year went by, it'll never happen. Oh, sometimes we're so bad, it's like a week or a day. Oh, and you said, and it didn't happen yet. You false prophet, you. Listen, it's going to happen. That's why I know that, you know, I watch people struggle through their test. I watch people get sluggish. And all I can say is, endure the testing. It'll be okay. And pick up your weary self, brush yourself off, and keep going forward. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. What are you worrying for? If we worry and we get upset, that's what's going to cause us to walk around in circles in the desert. Now, there's another thing here I want you to know. You got support. You got support. There's another verse here. It says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I prepared. We got support, dude. Do you hear what I'm talking about? We got support. There's no need for us to lose hope. There's no need for us. We just need to keep the faith. Listen, I don't care how long you're waiting. Okay, I don't care how hard your testing is. I got words that were spoken over me from people who I thought had three heads. Because the word was just like all far away. Like, how is this possible? And it's still, I'm going to tell you right now, I got to test myself. I'm probably at the furthest point in life to say that those promises aren't happening. But I'm saying, no, they're going to happen. I'm manifesting faith. I have to renew my mind. I have to come into a place of repentance. And I got to change the way I'm thinking and say, nope, they're going to come. I just got to endure this testing and wait on the support of the angels. And know that God is going to support the word, the unction, the inspiration, the thought that's inside of me. Knowing. And there's one word, and I'm believing in it, that we will earn all the financial need that we need to bring this message around the world. And I know it. And I'm holding on to it. And what has already happened? We've already been physically around the world. And now we're around the world through internet or whatever you want to call it. But I know that there's another revival coming. I know that there's a greater impartation that is happening. I know that there are revivals that are going to break out. I just know it. We're not done out of the nations. It's only a matter of time. With that being said, we have support and we need to hold on. We're not alone. God is sending supernatural manifestations to help us. And it says here, through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained more promises, and stopped the lion's mouth, the mouth of the lion. Now I look at the mouth of the lion as all that negative, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. So this faith is a power. It subdues kingdoms. And the way I look at kingdoms is that we got principalities and powers. There's kingdoms all around us that try to take you away from your promises. There are so many people who are taken because they don't have a foundation of truth in them. They're not hearing this word. Like Pastor Sam said, there's a land that dries up because there's no water. And so when they watered it, all the growth came up, but it was nice and flourishing green. And then when they stopped watering it, it died. Okay, this truth that I'm giving you is the water to your dry places, to your dry, withered up promises, where you got really excited and you had a vision, you had a dream, you had an inspiration, and you got all excited, and then all of a sudden something came in, the testing, and all of a sudden, you lost your promise. It dried up. No water. No real water that was watering, not saying, come on, you know, you're going to be tested. You know, you might hear this message 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Keep listening to it, because it's the water that is needed for your promise to come to pass. I'm going to tell you right now, there are most of us here, and those that are listening, have probably not even caught all of what I've said. That's why it's important to listen over and 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 over, because you'll get something. You'll get something more that you need in that due season. Then it says here, let me see where I left off on keeping the faith, and it says here, it says, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, this is where we become divine natures. This is the beginning of us being transformed into a divine nature, so that we can enter in to a divine place, which is your promises. I'm going to hold up right there. I'm going to have to make a part two on this, because I don't want to rush it. This is too meaty right now to try to rush this. I hope and pray that we can continue to come out with the rest of this. If we can have every head bowed for a moment, I want to pray that my God will re-spark in you a promise. If you have lost a promise, I hope that He restores it. Through our repentance, through our place of a broken, contrite heart, by us just saying, Lord, restore in me that clean heart. Restore back in me the life that you have given me. Restore. I want this life. I want eternity. I want it. Because your eternity is now in you. I'm walking in eternity. Walk with me. Walk in your promise. Walk with me. When you walk with me in eternity, you walk in your promises. You take on the divine nature. I want you to become divine in him. So, Father, I ask now that you bring your angels, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and impart in them life, a new promise, a new hope, and build on what they have already. If they have been walking in it, give them the strength to endure the testing and empower them so that they don't fail. They hold tight, casting away the old and coming into the new. And Lord, I ask that you bring those angels that you have spoken about in your word and continue to support your promise. Uphold, give glimmers of hope, open up doors that continue to spark hope in their life. Anoint them with your oil. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. At this time, I'm going to ask Kurt to come up. He had something that he wanted to share during that message. I just want him to release what he has, and then he'll close us. Amen?
Amen. Give me your hand. You know, what Pastor was saying, like, I'm just going to take Sam as an example. What I was saying was Sam was in a place, and he had this word that was a seed that was planted in him, okay? But he never had that place of saying yes. We're the ones, God's telling us, we're the ones that have to come to that place of saying, we're the yes, he's the amen.
Amen.
So when Sam came to a place in his heart, because God kept feeding that seed, and Sam came to that place of saying, he bowed and he said, yes, Father, yes. And Father, and then God said, so be it. It is yours.
Amen.
So that yes and that amen is you and God coming as one.
It can see.
Yeah. That was the birth. So we have to come to that place of crying out to God and saying, help me with my yes. Help me. Come to that place, because I know you put it in me. If it's singing, if it's to be an engineer, whatever, we got to say, God, what do you want me to do? And he'll bring that place of peace and that gift of saying amen, so be it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So have a great week.
Bring Sam.
Sam, come on up. Testimony.
I want to say torment of where you came today. Yeah, share your testimony. We overcome by the word of our testimony.
All right, real quick. When I got the word and I finally said yes,
Donnie, wait a minute.
That's when you started going through testing. See, when you have a vision in your life and you have a plan, you're going to go through testings and trials and tribulations and sufferings. And the sufferings are for one reason. And remember this. This is the only reason why you go through sufferings. And we make sufferings. You know, it could just be a walkthrough, but we call it sufferings. That's our choice. But it does one thing. It builds your character. See, he talked about leaving early, and I left my work a little bit early. He told me don't go yet, and I said, no, it's time. He's like, brother, you're going to go through a little bit of hell because you didn't ask me first, and I'm like, listen, I'm all right. I got it. Well, I went through a lot of hell, and I had to go through the sufferings to build my character, because if I had gotten what we're getting now back then, I couldn't handle it. There's no way I could handle what God's doing in this business back then. I had to go through the suffering of starting a business, having losing that business because the building got sold, going through a hell of trying to find a building, and it was horrible, and dealing with a partner who was tough. And now that, you know, because I didn't listen, I had to go through a little bit of prison. You know, when you don't listen to the word of God, there's always a consequence. You have to pay your penance. I mean, you get caught stealing, you have to go to jail for a little while and pay your penance. Well, I paid. I mean, I had to go, and it was like I was in prison for a little while because I didn't listen. I'm telling you the truth. I went before I was told, and he said, "Don't go yet." And I was like, no, I'm done with this job. I'm out of here. He said he's ready for me. He goes, "I don't care if he said he's ready for you. It's not time yet. Let him build it up. Let him go through these," because I had to go through not only my sufferings, but his sufferings as well. I could have just dealt with mine, but because I went with him early, I had to deal with mine and his. So I'm going through both sufferings at the same time. Instead of just dealing, you understand what I'm saying?
It's the red shirt.
So now that we've gone through this molding period, no more suffering. Now I call it a molding period because sufferings don't exist to us. It's molding. We're going through molding periods, and now I'm being molded. And God just had us open our own insurance company. So now we are doing our own warranties in my business, which we paid out about $20,000 in the last month and a half to. So that's going to be all our money. So with that being said, that alone should be able to support the ministry in this place without a doubt. Just that one part of the business, not even including the sales, the service, but the reinsurance just got given to us just last week, and it's a miracle that we even got that. So things are happening. Oh my gosh. All right, we're closing up the other night. The other night, a guy came to my work, and I work a lot of hours, and it was 9:00, and I was ready to go home. And this guy gets out of his car, and he's waving to me like he knows me. I'm like, "Who is this guy?" All excited.
That gives it away.
Well, he was so happy. I was like, "Who is this?"
And here,
and there's me like, "Who is this clown coming here at 9:00? Just close
the."
We just turned the lights off. I'm ready to go home. And this guy comes in and goes, you guys hiring? I said, "No, we're not hiring. We just opened up 2 months ago. I mean, we're not hiring yet. Pretty soon maybe." And I was offended because he was like, "Are you guys hiring?" I was like, "You come here to take our money? We just, like, what are you kidding me?" I got it weird. And then my partner, who always wants to go home, said, "You know what? Do you have a resume?" And I looked at him like, "What are you, crazy? Get this guy out of here. Why are you bringing him in?" He goes, "Come on in for a second." I'm like, "Oh, here we go." So the guy comes in and he goes, "Look, I just left my job." And he goes, "I don't want to tell you why, but I'm going to tell you." He goes, "Because I love God with all my heart, and I can't work 5 12-hour shifts." He goes, "This guy's telling us how he loves God, and he's called," and he starts quoting scripture, and he goes, "Look, guys, I don't know if I'm going to work for you guys, but I believe I was sent here for one reason." He goes, "The soles of my feet, everywhere I go, God takes the land." And he looks at Osh, and he goes, "I see you with a spirit of addiction." And he goes, "I'm casting that out of you right now." And he hit Osh, and Osh was bang against the wall. And I was like, "What is going on?" This guy was going crazy. He grabbed our hands. He prayed for the minute. He goes, "This place is going to be blessed beyond measure. God's going to do what he's going to do here. You guys are going to bless." He said the same thing the other guy said. We're going to make so much, we're going to have to give it away. Same exact thing somebody else said. This guy said the same thing. He was all over us. And he said, "I'm blessing this place." And he left. And I don't know whatever happened with that guy. But
He'll never come back. That's even if there's any writing on the application.
He never gave it to us.
Yeah, there you go. The same thing happened. Same exact thing. So you're using leadership in this ministry when you first start. Before the ministry, it was actually the day of the ordination of this ministry.
Yeah.
We were sitting here, I think Kurt was 7 years old or 6 years old. We have to hear the testimony.
So we're in here. Everything shifted over. The stage was over here. 3 months beforehand, 9/11 happened. I was a mess. I came in here. I was searching for God. I laid on my face every Sunday for like a year, crying like a little baby. Never cried before in my life. Well, and since I was 13, I was like 38, 39 years old. I was getting crushed. These two people, a husband and wife, were leadership of this ministry at this time. They brought an organ player who was a Baptist.
They brought him.
They brought him in here. And this guy started playing. In the middle of the service, they stopped. And they said, he was the pastor of this ministry. Whew. And him and Shelly started to walk out. Shelly is Jim's wife. And they both fell out in the power of God. And they never even knew what happened. Well, these two individuals that were supposedly in the beginning of the head of this ministry got up, snarled, because it was nasty because I saw it, but that's beside the point, and actually left the ministry. That was the start of the ministry. So when Sam, just because he's part of this ministry, but his ministry is a car dealership, and he's going to feed the nations. Yeah. It's a spoke off of the wheel.
Yep. Which so, there are others.
Yeah, amen. There's in the very beginning of this ministry, there's a wheel, and there's spokes. Yep. The wheel's the hub, and that is glory to the nations, or the glory barn. And this is just another spoke, but this is a big spoke, because this is his ministry. Sam doesn't sell a car to make money. Sam sells a car to speak about God to individuals, and God blesses them through it. But it's as soon as he was telling me the story, that vision came to me right away about how the ministry started. So it's just a little bit background of how this ministry started. He didn't want any parts of this ministry.
No.
He didn't want no part of a business. He was doing well with Honda. He was happier like a pig in mud.
It started even further back when he thought he was going to do something else. And I said to him, you're going to be a used car salesman. And he went, what?
Yep.
They're the scum of the earth.
Yeah, I was sitting at that meeting. There was about five of us. And actually, your sister was here and had a vision.
I got a little angry at that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not a happy Sam. He was not a happy Sam.
No.
But
how many people remember that one?
Yeah. Tim was here.
Yes, and amen.
But it took Sam. He never let go of that promise, though. He really didn't. Because I know he believed the promise, but he fought it. And it was almost, you get a promise, and I don't, it's there. It's like Jim was saying, you want the $1 million first, and then I'll go into business.
Well, that was Sam.
Yeah.
Let me share something. That was Sam, because when he heard the word, and then he got into it, and then saw the possibilities, he was like, like a little puppy dog, I want it now. And then when he wasn't getting it right away, he was like this. Stamping his feet. I hate you. My famous words are, you'll hate me now, but you'll love me later. Because 99.9% the promises and the word of God goes against your law. And you have established a law in your head, and you're following the law. And I'm asking you to break away from your law and stop reasoning with your head and humble ourselves and follow the word that is written on our heart. I'm here to just bring out the promise and the word that is on your heart. Not what I want for you, but what God has for you. That's all. I have no preconceived ideas. What God has done in my life has been miraculous, and I am a bondservant, a slave for you. But as I told someone special in my heart who is very dear, I'm a greedy pig, and I want my blessings. And in order for me to get my blessings, for me to be blessed and prosper in my own life, is only going to come through you when you yield to the promise of God that is in you. And when you follow that path that is in you, I've done my job, and God rewards me. That's all I want. I want my rewards that is due to me. That's it. I was sent here, and he says, I will take care of you if you do my will.
And my will is for you to tell them how to find me, how to find my promises that are in them, and get them to walk on my promises so that they will have the righteousness that is due to them in God. That's the truth. There is no other truth than this. Your righteousness is in him, and in him is the promises, and you have to yield yourself to his promises that are in you, and you will have eternal life. This is salvation. This is the real salvation. I don't know what religion gives you out there, and there's multiple flavors of their thoughts of righteousness, but there is only one righteousness, and that's in God. And in that is in the promises that are in you. That's it. And when those promises come, then you're in righteousness. Now, can we walk out of them? Can we come out of righteousness? Yes. That's when you go back to your law. When you go back to your reasonings. When you start trying to figure it out again. And you lose this. Now, I want to bring Melinda up real quick. Melinda, come on up here. Because Melinda knows this, but she doesn't know it. And Melinda has had a word spoken over her. And her son is sincerely blessed over it. And she is sincerely blessed over it. But she has just went through a trial and a testing. Have you not?
Yeah.
I can see the glory already falling on her. Because we just don't. She's not a crybaby.
I'm not. Only cried here.
She only cries in here. And because she, inside of her is really, the tears is really just her spirit worshiping God, thanking him for the support of the angels. And she reached her point, and God will never give you more than you can handle. Understand this truth. And she reached a breaking point, where she was ready to walk away from the promise. She yielded herself to the promise, but yet she reached her breaking point of the testing, and God said, no, no. I'm going to send support. I'm going to send my angels. And then ended up giving her the desire of her heart and taking her out of an area of the business and bringing her into another area of the business, which is now becoming easier for her. But she doesn't realize this, that she is going to eventually not watch any children whatsoever. She's going to go into the administration part of the business, far beyond what she can comprehend or even imagine. She didn't even go to college for this end of it. But yet God is going to raise her up and put her in this, where she's going to be in charge and oversee many different divisions of this facility that she's in, and it's going to branch out to many, many other facilities. This isn't the only one. I don't know how many are actually built. Maybe this is the only one, is it? Or are there other facilities modeled like this?
No, not that I'm aware of.
So there's only one?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay, well, there's going to be more. How many people have ever heard the company called Children of America? Okay. They established one, but then they multiplied many images of it. And so they duplicated this thing all over. And I don't know if it's a franchise now or whatever. This is what I see is going to happen with her in this business and this corporation that she's involved in. She's going to be in part of the administration of overseeing and watching the whole gamut. So her area of where she thought she was going to be is with hands-on with the children. It ain't happening.
Yeah, and I actually do have a testimony about the job.
How do you feel about that message that I just gave you, too?
It was my life. Like, that is exactly what I'm going through. He told me, I don't even know when it was, like maybe 3 months ago, to get a job at a daycare where Carter could come with me. His expenses will be taken care of. So, yeah, he gets free daycare. He gets free lunches. You know, it's good on that end.
So everything was spoken?
That came to pass.
Ooh,
the first week, I cried every single day. I hated it. I hated him. I didn't even want to come to church that Sunday.
Yep. And what do I say? You're going to hate me, but later you're going to love me.
Yeah, I definitely hated him.
Oh, she hated it. And it's okay.
But I came Sunday, you know, and he told me things are going to be better. I came up. When he calls people up, I can't even think of what it's called. And he told me that things were going to get better. Not this past week, but the last week, I was going into, so I'm working at a daycare and I'm like an aide. I go wherever they need me. So I'm going into the infant room and the person who owns the place is in the room across in her daughter's office because it's like a family run business and I don't know, things that go on that really like kind of piss me off about it. But she calls me in the office. She's like, well, how would you like to be a teacher? Like with these like 10 3-year-olds, kids that are just turning three. I'm like, yeah, you know, because for me, coming from the teaching world, like being an aide and just like, you know, doing what I was doing was not like, it wasn't sitting right with me. And I think that's part of the reason why I hated the job. So now this past week, Thursday and Friday, I finally got my own classroom. So it's like a little bit better. So it is getting better. I don't cry anymore. Carter cries a little bit, but then he's great the rest of the day. As long as he doesn't see me, he's perfect. You know, he's doing really good. So yes, I hated it to begin with, but now it's getting better. It's only been a month. So
amen. Yeah. Let's give her a hand of praise. You know, you gotta understand, she went to college for certain things, and I want you to know that you might have went to college, those younger and those that are here today and listening. You might have went to college, but sometimes we make decisions and that might have not been really what we wanted to do because we were young when we made our choices. Don't be ashamed of changing those choices if you feel as though that, and don't feel as though that you went and did it for no reason at all. There, God was in it no matter what. So he used some areas of those things. I mean, Tim went to college, Sam went to college. Did you guys ever finish up what you guys so my point is you have Isaacs, okay? Be willing to yield those Isaacs down and be able to order them. But I do open up ministry sometimes, but for today I'm not going to be able to open up the ministry to speak into people's lives. But I share this reason because listen, this ministry is for you. And God wants to speak into your life. But at the same time, you need to go by faith and open up your heart and actually come to allow that word to come into your heart. Okay, God's not going to be rude and just start, you know, slapping you in the face. You got to want to hear. So, yeah, you have to say yes. You have to realize that you're lost and you need salvation and that you need to hear from the Lord and let him direct your path. I yielded myself. Like I said, I don't have any preconceived ideas. It's not my life. I don't want to live your life. I just want God to live that life through you. That's it. I don't care. And so I yield to the Spirit of God and let God confirm what is really also inside of you. Because when you get to the point of really being honest with yourself, you'll realize, yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. Sam, it wasn't the career. It was the money. All he wants is money. That's it. But that's not a bad thing. And God knows that because he's going to take that money and bless into the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter where he gets it. He just wants to bless. And to where he thought he was going to be, that was about Sam and the image of Sam. But he realized that that's not fulfillment of his desire of his heart. He couldn't bless in where he was going. It would have given him the image he wanted, but he couldn't bless. And that's the deep joy and happiness that is inside of him that's buried that needed to be resurrected. So we need to understand the truth. I know the truth. And I'm here to resurrect the dead. I'm here to dig up the wells that are inside of you and let that water spring up. And spring up a new well. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Continue to log on. Continue to get out here. Every week is different. And pray for those that weren't able to make it today. Because like I said, you never know who's going to walk through those doors. Next week, I may be, because of part two of this message, I may be able to open up the altars. So be prepared to hear a word from the Lord, because I believe God wants to impart his promise inside of you, and I believe he's going to release words for those who are wanting to hear words. Amen.